you know, those that were in the Sunday school, if you noted that 196, there is a fountain. That was kind of Jay's outline for his Sunday school class. So if he'd just sung that, we'd had the whole class lesson. But I had great detail, good information, and he was right. We often, I think, forget that we are redeemed, and when we were, and what our lives are to be like, and the changes with the regard to it that there ought to be there. We have a position and a practice, and we ought to practice what our position is in the things of Christ. I bring you some greetings from a former pastor and his wife, Mr. and Mrs. Tim Gillum. Some of you remember the Gillums. We were in the state of Maine for a few days at a Bible conference of the New England Fellowship of regular Baptist churches was taking place, and was taking place that happened in the church where we were and where God had had us to pastor and minister back in the past. So anyway, there was this man up there leading the singing, and I didn't recognize him. And it was interesting because he had a black shirt on with a white collar, and I think a black bow tie. And I kept looking and looking and looking. I said, what kind of an outfit is that song leader wearing? And so later on, I went and talked to him, and it was Pastor Gillum. And so I commented, as I would have to, on his unique shirt. And he is doing fairly well, has had some physical problems, but doing pretty well at this time, though has some great leg problems. Well, are you all ready for winter? Might as well get ready. I think it's kind of knocking on the door, isn't it? Some places was snowing yesterday. Not directly in our area, but round and about, and going to be here whether we want it to or not. And so be ye ready. I would encourage you with regard to the other ministries of the church. You see them in the bulletin, and be sure to get involved in things that are the church plans people are working on. It takes a lot of time and energy and work. I appreciate them putting things together. And also the services of the church. Do your best. Work hard to come for the Sunday school hour, and then the evening service, the Wednesday service. Many years ago, my wife and I were working and inviting folks, and we were able to encourage a lady who was in the Navy and her kids to come and to the services. And my wife overheard her explaining to her child why we had an evening service. As the child asked, well, why do they have an evening service? What do they do in it? And so the answer from the lady was, they do the same thing as in the morning. It's for those people who couldn't make it in the morning and just make it at night. Well, that was her understanding of the evening service. But it's not that way. It's a totally different message and ministry and songs, and just encouragement to get up and get out and enjoy the time together and the biblical time of joining in worship. Well, we're doing a little series together, and it's How Well Do We Know God? How well do we know God? We ought to ask ourselves that and think about it. You know, do I know God well? I know lots of stuff about him, and I've heard this and I've read that in the scriptures, but how well do we know God? And we talked a little bit about the immensity of God, thinking of the fact of God being everywhere. It doesn't mean God is in anything, though he comes to live in believers, but that God is everywhere, the immensity of God. And this morning hour thinking a little bit on how God is the only know-it-all. He's the one and only, genuinely, one who knows it all. Perhaps someone has said to you at some time, what do you think, you know it all? You got all the answers? What are you, an encyclopedia? My first year of Bible school, one of my roommates, whose mother I met at graduation time 4 years after I met him, she says, you know what he used to read for entertainment when he got tired of reading other things? He read the dictionary. This young man really was a know-it-all, or at least it appeared that way. Well, the God of the Bible, as you read through the scriptures and you absorb the things of the Word of God and it becomes part of your life and you work it out and you work by way of the things of the Word of God, we are reminded, we learn, we find out that God really is the one and only literal know-it-all. I have some favorite poets of mine. I like John Greenleaf Whittier. Anyone ever read any of John Greenleaf Whittier's poems? Oh, shame on you, you haven't. You ought to find it. Just the name ought to attract you. John Greenleaf Whittier. Sounds like a poet's name, doesn't it? And you'll find some good stuff. Look it up on your the internet. But my favorite of favorites would be William Cowper. Of course, we sung one of his songs this morning, right? Shake your head, yes, we did. It was an English poet. He lived in 1731, so that was a few years back, died in 1800. And he wrote a lot from out of the scriptures. He'd take the scriptures and write his poems, and perhaps that's why I enjoy them so much. But he wrote much in letters of his struggles to understand what God was doing in his life. God, who knows it all, what is he doing in my life, in my little time here upon this earth, and with my time to come in eternity forever with him? What's he doing in my life? And throughout all his life, Cowper, that's a good name, isn't it? Cowper. Say yes, that's a good name. All his life long, he battled with severe depression. Now, we read from the scriptures this morning hour what he wrote in one of his poems. He wrote, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Now, you know, that's pretty striking, and it probably ought to be right there fresh in your mind as we just read it, Psalm 77 and verse 19. Now, if you would just humor me a bit and pull that hymn book out of the rack there and turn to hymn number 54. And what do you see there when you arrive? What's there? William Cowper, another one of his songs, wrote several really. And this one, as it is titled here, His Way, but it deals with that portion of Scripture, Psalm 77, which you read this morning. I've never sung it or heard it sung here, and don't look too hard to sing. Although, what do I know? I know nothing about. I just follow the piano or organ player and work, or my wife who's close by. But he wrote this poem, and entitled Light Shining Out of Darkness. Remember, his life just filled with awful times of depression to the point where perhaps some of you have had the horribleness of some migraine headaches or know of people and just have to be alone in the dark and on and on and just that awful feeling. And his life was filled with those great depression. And he wrote this, light shining out of darkness. And he took it from Psalm 77. I read the poem. It's short. He says, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And so he's going to think about that statement down through his poems. Now you think with him. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. What he's going to do, is doing, and will do, and he'll do that, and is doing that, and will do that perfectly because he knows, as we often say, the very beginning of the beginning of the beginning, all the way through and to the end of ends, as it might be. So Psalm 77:19 is a biblical way of saying God does not leave any tracks, but that does not mean he is not in charge, but that he is doing that which is according to what he has set up. God doesn't kind of run here and there to find out what's going on and then do something with it. So God walks through this world, and in your life, like he's walking across the stormy seas, he knows all that's going on, though he leaves no footprints or tracks. However, since the only footprints he leaves behind are in the sea, the ocean, how can any one of us, how can we know where he's been or what he's doing or what's going on or what he's going to do? How can we know? How can this local church know what God is doing? Well, we can't. It's like the tracks in the sea, but we trust him and believe him. But this we do know, that God is all wise. And we can know for sure that whatever God is doing is wise. And from what source do we gain that confidence? Where do we get a hold of that confidence? Well, I got the Bible, of course, and I direct your attention to Romans in chapter 11. And just a quick look at a verse there. God is the only one, or the one and only, know it all that there is. So Romans, remember these verses in Romans chapter 11? Find your way down there to the 33rd verse, Romans 11, down to verse 33. Did you get there? Say amen if you got there. All right, I know some of you got there. That's good. Like me, sometimes it takes me a while. They stick. I don't know why the pages stick only in church, but that's where it seems to be. Getting there. But Romans 11:33, Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the what? Wisdom and what? Knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his instructor, counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall not be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be the glory forever. And then what do we say? Amen. Yeah. I want to just pull out some illustrations out of that that are in the scriptures that are kind of on the top shelf of finding them, easy to find and think about, and familiar verses to get us thinking about God is the one and only know-it-all. And since he does know it all, I really can have my trust and confidence in him moment by moment with regard to, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what, but I know this. God knows. I'm in perfect hands. Him who has a knowledge of all things. And he will do that which is right for this one purchased by the blood of his very own son. So here's some illustrations. They are familiar verses. I'll take you back into the Old Testament and the book of 1 Samuel and the second chapter there. 1 Samuel and chapter 2. It's part of the prayer and songs of one called Hannah. Very precious portion of Scripture. And I would just have you to note, as you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 in the first verse, just let your eyes kind of meander back up there at the end of the verse before verse 28. You see that at the end of verse 28 in chapter 1? So they did what? They worshiped the Lord there. They're worshiping God, and then we have Hannah, who's praying. I think maybe singing her prayer, perhaps. But Hannah prayed, and here's what she said. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn or my strength is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies. My mouth is enlarged, perhaps yours reads. Because I rejoice in your, capital Y, in the Lord's salvation. No one, verse 2, no one is holy like the Lord. For there is none besides you. Wow. Nor is there any rock solidness like our God. He says, talk, or she says, she prays, talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance or superiority, like you're the know-it-all, come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of, what's it say? Knowledge. The Lord is the God of knowledge. Years ago, a salesman come knocking on our door. I was a kid growing up, and there was a college student going door to door, and she was trying to work her way through college, make a few dollars, and she was selling a set of books called The Book of, you know what it is? Knowledge, yeah, the book of knowledge. And you had this set of books, and I was about the only one in the house excited about them. When my mother heard the price, she wasn't excited anymore. The girl did a good presentation. The book of knowledge, well, you hold in your hands on your lap, need the book of knowledge, real knowledge, for the Lord is the God of knowledge. I like encyclopedias, and of course we got them right held in our hands on our phones now. And great stuff, valuable, We can learn indeed so much, but we all go back to this. The Lord is the God who knows it all, the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The God of all knowledge, wonderful thought, and wonderful truth, and a wonderful dependence upon God for us. The Lord is a God of knowledge. He knows. It's not an acquired knowledge. God didn't study to get the knowledge. He did not experience all sorts of things and therefore had the knowledge like you and I. He did not grasp at things and gain some knowledge. God never acquired knowledge as you and I by studying and thinking. And Jerome, he's getting his mind burned out these days of studying, working, thinking, and, you know, and we've been there and done our study, and trust you still are a studier, and we're always learning and gaining valuable and instant stuff. We do live in a world of great information and so on, but God never acquired anything by way of studying. He's the know-it-all. He knew it all. He does know it all. Reminds us a little bit more when we turn to Psalms, the book of Psalms or the Songs. 94, please. Psalm 94. And when you get there, down to verse 8. Psalm 94, down at verse 8. Reads this way, understand, you senseless among the people. Wow. And you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, speaking of God, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge. He who teaches man knowledge. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile, outside of him, without God. So any knowledge I have of any matter that has that which remains and is of the upmost importance for daily living and for eternity has come from God. He knows. You want to become one who knows much more than you do now, be sure to know the Lord God of heaven. Get to know him and think upon him and what he has for us. The Lord knows our thoughts. Did you see that in the verses? Verse 11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows our thoughts. That can be of great encouragement or very, very scary. That could greatly influence us and push us forward in a service for the Lord. Or it can indeed, as it might well do, humble our hearts. God knows our thoughts, what we are thinking about. I just pause a moment there and I remind us that God knows what's on our hearts and minds and what we're thinking about, what our thoughts are regarding Maranatha Baptist Church. God knows the people that make up the church. God knows your hearts, your thoughts, in regard to the work of the ministry he has placed you into here for his namesake and for his glory. Also, our hearts are humbled and at the same time warmed as to what Jesus said with regard to his knowing of us. Remember that in John 10:14? You can turn there if you wish. Great little verse. Lord, our shepherd. Remember chapter 10 of John. Every chapter kind of has a title you can place over it to help you to remember it. John 10 is always the Lord is the good shepherd. And there he says in John 10, 14, I know my what? Sheep. I know my sheep. Are you a sheep? Sheep is someone who has indeed been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knows all people and everyone. But here this is a knowledge of our personal lives and the way things and what's going on. I know my sheep. It's powerful and encouraging there in John chapter 10 and verse 14. Ought to be a great blessing to us, God knows. I know there are days, times, situations, we might well wonder if God knows what's going on in our lives, but I know my sheep. Not only do I know them who have believed on me by faith in Christ, and it's a good place to pause and say, have you genuinely, truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And if such, and Jay had a great lesson this morning, our lives have a change to them, a different direction. We live according to the fact we've been redeemed. Our lives show that we have been redeemed. It's not a show-off life, and it's a life that doesn't just fall into some patterns. We just kind of do the religious thing, but it is a life indeed that is changed. And I know my sheep. He knows if you're a child of his, a sheep of his or not. Beautiful position to be in, belonging to him. Well, Matthew 6, I'm going to take you there. It's familiar to you. You know right away when I say Matthew 6, the Lord is talking about prayer and talking about different matters with regard to our daily living. And here's some instruction on prayer, Matthew chapter 6, and find your way down there to verse 7. Chapter 6 and verse 7, God who knows all, he is the God who knows all, he is the know-it-all, who uses all that he knows in the right and correct way. And here in verse 7, Jesus says, now the Son of God, and when you pray, he takes it for granted, by the way, we are going to be a praying people. When you pray, since you are praying, you're a praying person, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many, 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 many words. Verse 8, therefore, do not be like them. How come? Well, for or because your heavenly Father, what? Knows the things. Yeah, all that. Items and life and stuff and what's going on. You have need of before you ask him. He's the know-it-all. Before we ask him. This really gives us a confidence to pray. It's not a matter of saying, well, why should I pray? He knows it all. No, it's the other way around. Since he knows, I have someone I can talk to about the matter. And he knows what we need. He knows what we are thinking we need, and he gives us the great confidence of prayer with regard to the matter that's before us. It's one of the main reasons for praying. We are taught to pray and not to faint. We are instructed much with regard to pray, but here we have this main reason for praying. It's this, folks. God knows. Now, let me ask you just a brief little question. When you go to see a doctor, do you hope, boy, I hope he doesn't know one thing about what I'm going to be going there for. Is that your hope when you go to the doctor? You're going to some bank specialist, someone in the economic realm, and do you go thinking, boy, I hope he does not know one thing about economics? Is that your hope? Hope not. We try to find and select and we ask and we check out with regard to a doctor who really does not just have lots of degrees after his name, but really has been in the practice and knows about the physical situation I'm experiencing. We go to someone who already knows. And one of the main reasons we pray is because God knows. He is the one and only true, genuine, original, if you please, know-it-all. Why would we wish to talk to anyone but the know-it-all? Who, by the way, doesn't come across as arrogant and haughty as some who think they know it all might come across with regard to their answers. And then there's Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. That just goes by and easy to find. We'll just take a quick look at that. Matthew 10 and verse 29. And I just use this. I have some favorite thoughts of mine here. But I use it because God is very precise. Matthew 10, 29. You've read them before. You've heard them. And there's some little thoughts that can be precious to us where the Lord Jesus Christ is talking and talking about his great care for us. And he says, are not two sparrows. Now you think about what a sparrow is. Any sparrows around your house? There's always a lot of sparrows, right? And at the bird feeder or singing away or around and about, and they aren't maybe the prettiest of birds or maybe that which we, boy, I wish I had some big, nice, colorful bird. Here you got the sparrows. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Probably about a 16th of a penny. And not one of them. Now you were reading carefully. Notice the preciseness of God who knows it all. Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. Who believes that? Do we believe that? You're outside working around and you come across a little sparrow that's died, laying there in the grass, or the cat got him. Something, you know, or you're driving along at 60 miles an hour, and little sparrows don't hold up well against the front of a car when they run into it, you know. It's happened to all of us. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. Do we believe that? Is that part of the makeup of the belief with regard to our lives? God knows it all. And if he knows of the little sparrow that falls, he knows of what the day has before each one of us, or the weeks ahead. What is there? This detailed, precise knowledge. The Lord has the same with regard to the ministries and the work and the ongoing of a local Baptist church. And the local church is worth more than two sparrows. But the Lord sees. The Lord knows the heartaches and situations of our lives. Some time back, as I was thinking through different matters, this is several years ago, and you know, it occurred to me that God, that not one thing has ever occurred to God. Why not? Because he knows it all. It isn't all at once God says, oh, I never thought of that. Like, oh boy, something just, you know, wow, there's fresh knowledge. You know. And has it ever occurred to us that nothing ever occurs to God? He is the genuine, true know-it-all. He never says, oh, I just had a thought, or I just figured something out. I'll read a portion of Scripture. See if you can think where you've heard it before as I read it here. God says, for I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. Remember where that comes from? I know the Bible. Don't do that to me. I know it's the Bible. And you know that. And Old or New Testament? Let's go there. Say old. That's right. Out of the old. And it's in that book in the Old Testament that's often called the Bible within the Bible. Isaiah. Yeah, Isaiah. Out of Isaiah chapter 46. Great chapter to read. God never learns history or from history. God never watches TV to see what's going on. We watch it and we still don't know what's going on. God, at every moment in time, at every little moment in time, knows all past history, in all situations, lives, events, and so on. And at every moment in time at the same time, all ongoing history, including your life and mine, what's going on. And he knows all future history that is going to take place in our lives. He is the only, one and only, all-knowing person that there is. See, God is not only familiar with your past and your future, but he's familiar with your right now, this moment. God is not only aware of everything that has happened in your life, and you say, sometimes I could write a book about the stuff that's happened in my life. God is not only aware of everything that has happened in your life and is happening, but also of what will happen. It can be scary or a blessing indeed. So that reminds us, and it ought to instruct us, and it ought to pause us, to get us to pause and say, it'd be very wise for me to get to know God very well. The one thing we do know, the one thing we have a great amount of knowledge of is that we're going to die. Now, God knows the when, the where, the how, and all the details. We don't. We just know we're going to die. There's an appointment. We had a little bit of a message on it, part of the message yesterday. It's appointed unto men. People wants to die. Got an appointment. Now, you will keep it. They won't be late for it, you know. It's an appointment. And then we're reminded what comes after the appointment. After the appointment's been kept, we will keep. It's the judgment. God is the one and truly only know-it-all. Better get to know him. A writer by the name of Pink, some of you might have some books by Arthur Pink. You either like him or really don't like him in his writings. He wrote this, God knows everything, everything possible, everything actual, all events, all creatures of the past, the present and the future. He is perfectly acquainted with every detail in the life of every being in heaven, in earth, and in hell. Better get to know him. You see, God knew the total history of Maranatha Baptist Church before there was a Maranatha Baptist Church. He knew you would be part of it before you even had the slightest inkling there was such a thing as Maranatha Baptist Church. No one event in the congregation has ever taken God by surprise. It's not that God said when some event situations happened in the church, oh no. But we do know from the scriptures, from the Bible, that God loves his flock. And he does have really, truly a glorious plan with regard for it, out of which he will get the glory. No one loves the church. No one loves this church. No one loves this local church like God does, because he is the one who purchased it with his own son's blood. No one loves it like he does. And no one knows the church with regard to the present moment and the future with him. Remember, it's God only wise, Romans 11:33. So what's going to happen with regard to the ministries and ongoing workings of the church? God only knows, because God knows all. So our confidence is to place all of our ministries and lives and the church into God's all-knowing hand. And for us, by his grace, to work fervently with all the strength we have to do his will in the church and the work of the ministry he's placed before us. If any man lack wisdom, remember James chapter 1 in verse 5, any man lacks wisdom, the idea is, well, we sure do lack some. Any man lacks wisdom, what's he supposed to do? Ask, yeah. Ask God. Yeah. Ask him. I want to close these few, and I trust haven't been rambling, remarks with Ephesians chapter 3. If you would please find Ephesians 3, we'll read and we'll be on our way, and I trust thinking about the God who knows all, and how well do we know him. Do we know him at all, or just some stuff about him? Now in Ephesians 3, and let me direct your attention to, you know, a few thoughts here. Verse 3:11, he talks about, Paul talks about things of life and events being according to the eternal purpose which he, God, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he says, in him we have boldness in the Lord, access with confidence through him in faith. And he says in verse 13, I ask that you do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Paul's talking about some of his difficulties and tribulations. But here I'd say to the church this morning, don't lose heart. God knows. And then there's this great prayer he prays forth for the church, for the local church. Great prayer for us to use with regard to our church. And there's a great way to pray for a missionary. You say, you write to a missionary. You can pray this way for that missionary. Tell him you're praying for him like this. And he says, for this reason, this is verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that he might grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. What a need we have there. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It speaks of an activity, the working of God in our lives, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of God passes, what's it pass? Knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him, kind of a favorite verse of mine, one of a few. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. And all the people said, we'll pray together. Our Father, apply your word to our hearts as need be, and might we apply our lives to the word as need be. Help us to know you are indeed all-knowing. Help that not to scare us, but might it humble our hearts under your mighty hand. And might we be expressing, showing, living that we believe that you are the one and only know-it-all. Use your words in our lives as you know we need it, and we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen.